So once again, I would like to invite you to join me in the book of Proverbs. And if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18, right around the middle of your Bible. And again, the words are on the screen if you need those. And in just a moment, we'll make our confession together. I want to, I'll mention this real quick too. Are we recording now? Are we good? Before we make this confession, let me just say for all of you who may be listening, and everyone here as well, that we are still going through the Proverbs on Wednesday night on Zoom. And so, Lord willing, this week we'll pick up chapter 18. And so I'll share today's message and maybe two more out of the book of Proverbs, even though we're into February. And I don't know how long we'll take. I'm not rushing it. I do a little teaching, maybe on two or three verses in the scripture in Proverbs, and then I open up for others to share what truth stands out to them or if they have questions. So it's a blessing. So I want to invite you to join again Wednesday on the Zoom fellowship and also give you our, let me give you our website. I've placed the notes from the last few messages in this series on the website. I'm just curious, does anyone, and I'll put today's on there as well, along with the Kids Church take-home page, but would anyone like to see those, like just what I use on Sunday mornings? Would anyone like to see those? Would you just let me see your hands and number? Okay, thank you. I'll plan to do that for you real early this afternoon, okay? So the website is just the initials of the church, CLM, and the word family, clmfamily.org, okay? And so you can help yourself to resources that are available for you. Well, if you found Proverbs chapter 18, would you join me as we make this confession together? And the words are on the screen. If you believe it, we invite you to join with us, those of you online as well. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Or is this also translated, wise words satisfy like a good meal. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. One translation says, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those In fact, would you say that first part of that verse with me? If we read it on the screen, we'll be on the same translation. There again, Proverbs 18, 21. Would you read that first part with me? Ready? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So here's the message this morning. It's simply this. Words are powerful. Use them wisely. Words are powerful. Use them wisely. Because our words have the power to be life-giving or life-damaging. And our words, whether they're spoken, whether they're written, whether they're sung, they have potential for good or bad. And I want to look up a number of verses here, Lord willing, in this time we have in the book of Proverbs. But let me give you one from the New Testament just now. It's found in Acts chapter 15. And it basically... I guess it reveals what I just said about words being even spoken or written. This is what it says in Acts chapter 15, verse 30. It says, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. The letter he's speaking of was basically what was written here in Acts 15 before verse 30. And this, so he's reading a letter, and this is what it says in verse 31. When they read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Then verse 32, now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted or encouraged and strengthened the brethren, how? With many words. So right here in these couple of verses, these words gave joy, encouragement and strength to the recipients. That's the power of words, again, spoken, sung, or written. Now, in James chapter 3 and verse 2, again, you just hold your spot there. I'm going to join you back in Proverbs, but let me read this to you. James chapter 3 and verse number 2 says this, "For we all stumble in many things." See, y'all want to be quiet and just act all spiritual, just like that. But how true. We all stumble in many things. But if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect. That doesn't mean we're sinless. It means Christ-like. It means mature and full-grown. So if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Think about that. If we can control our words, we can control our body. Oh, my goodness. So it's like Christ to control our words and use them for life-giving purposes. And the next couple of verses talk about how our words give direction to our lives, like a bit, real small bit in a horse's mouth, or a small rudder on a ship. Our words give direction to our lives. So if we don't like the direction in which our lives are going, maybe we need to check the words we're speaking. Then he says this, and this really, I believe, shows why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in verse 8. This is James 3:8. He says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Don't we need God's Holy Spirit to help us speak life-giving words and to bring our tongues and our mouths under his lordship and speak wise words at the proper time? Lord, help us. Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, would you turn there with me? I want to read just this one verse. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23 says this, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." That word learning is also translated persuasiveness. I love that. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, instructs his mouth, and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Think about that potential. So that maybe even as a parent, and we need to correct our son or daughter about something, we can do it in a life-giving way. So it doesn't have to be damaging. So that's what he says, adds wisdom to our mouths and persuasiveness to our words. So that influence to speak life-giving, even when we've probably all, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've sensed the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your own heart. He doesn't do that to push us away to hurt us. He convicts us to draw us to himself so that we're right with him so that we can have fullness of joy. So they're in a life-giving way. And that's what I want to ask the Lord to always help me do that, to speak words that are, even when they convict, that they would be life-giving, that they'd be encouraging and strengthening. This morning, I'd like to just share two truths about our words from the Proverbs and from Scripture. And if you turn to chapter 12, I'll give you a couple verses or a few for each one, but just two. And this is kind of a broad category just for time's sake. But first of all, our words reveal. Our words reveal. And I'll read a proverb here in chapter 12 in just a moment. But just because some of you are writing, let me just basically tell you, I believe there are three areas, and I'll repeat them for you. Our words reveal, first of all, our heart. Our words reveal our perspective, and our words reveal our values. So our words reveal our heart. My words reveal the faith in my heart. Our words reveal my thoughts, the thoughts of my heart. I can express myself in words. Our words reveal the full range of emotions that we experience. But that's our words. Then Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17 says this, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness declares deceit," or deceit. So our words reveal not only our heart, But our perspective and values, I'll come back to that verse in a second. Our perspective, whether it's accurate or not, is our reality. How many of you are familiar with Elijah when he had this great victory? God moved and brought people to himself. He defeated 850 false prophets, and he ends up in a cave by himself. And this is what he said. God asked him twice, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Well, the answer was nothing. But he said, "All your people have tore down your altars and they're worshiping Baal, and I'm the only one that's left, and now they're trying to kill me." Now, if you're familiar with that account, was his perspective accurate? It wasn't accurate, but even though it was not, his perspective was based on a lie, but his perspective isolated him in a cave and broke him off from fellowship with 7,000 other godly believers. Think about that one a second. How many people, their perspective today is keeping them away from fellowship with the Lord and his people because not that they're even necessarily mean or evil, but they've got a wrong perspective and it's robbing them because that's what they see. It's in their heart. So our words reveal our heart and our perspective, but they also reveal our values. That verse says, he who speaks truth declares that righteousness is revealed by speaking truth, and a falsehood is revealed by speaking what is deceptive. The New Living Translation says it like this: an honest witness tells the truth, a false witness tells lies. So ungodly values are revealed by deceiving words. Godly values are revealed by honest words. Ungodly values are revealed by flattering words. Godly values are revealed by encouraging words. See, flattery is just setting people up as a trap for our own welfare and benefit. Ungodly values reveal gossiping words. Godly values reveal caring words. Ungodly values reveal destructive words, but godly values reveal edifying and encouraging words that build us up rather than tear us down. Let me read you this scripture in Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Again, just our words reveal. Would you say that with me? Our words reveal. Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 23, we read, "Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself." Do you see how even though our words, somebody can tell me a lie and deceive me, but it's still revealing something about them, about the heart. Then verse 25, "When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the whole assembly." There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 18, and it's worded different ways in different translation, but I think I asked them to put this one on the screen. It's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8 from the Passion Translation. Let me just read it to you. It says, "The words of a gossip merely reveal the wounds of his own soul." The words of a gossip merely reveal the wounds of his own soul. Sometimes, you know what they say, hurt people do what? Hurt people. So sometimes it's out of our own wounds and hurts that it comes out in our words, and we wound and hurt others as well and keep that nasty cycle going. It says, the rest of that verse says, "And his slander penetrates into the innermost being." So would you say our words reveal? And then the second truth this morning, our words, again, I'm making a real broad brush here, I guess, of this truth, but our words not only reveal, but our words either hurt or heal. So our words reveal and our words hurt or heal. And I'll read a scripture there in Proverbs chapter 12. Going through this past month, these verses really stood out to me, really. Go through it however many times you want. The Lord will probably put something of emphasis as you go through each time. This one really stood out to me, I guess, when this time, along with several other truths, but our words hurt or heal. Would you look at chapter 12 and verse 18? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. The Bible says this, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword." There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Hurtful words can pierce right into our heart and spirit, can't they? And he says this, again, verse 18, "But the tongue of the wise promotes health." I'll come back to that in just a moment. But again, the tongue of the wise promotes health. So there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Our words are like seeds. And that's why it's so important of what we say and what we hear. Because what we say and others hear and what others say and we hear can get into our heart and produce a crop. That's what we talk about, the seed of God's word. And hurtful words can not only hurt us for the moment, they can impair us for years if we allow them to do so. Thank God we don't have to. And whatever words we may have heard in our lives, even now, there is a greater voice and a greater authority that we can choose to listen to. I heard, Stephen Furtick talk about how just, he wasn't talking about this specifically, I don't think, but I thought it was good and it fits. He said, if they didn't make you and they don't own you, don't let them label you. If they're not your manufacturer and they don't own you, don't let them label you. So thank God for the healing power of wise words. Yes, it can pierce like a sword and hurt and impair, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. If you look at chapter 15 and verse 4, I'll come back to 12 in a moment. Chapter 15 and verse 4. "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks," or it, that word is actually also translated destruction. It destroys, it breaks the spirit. "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." Now, remember that verse 12:18? And it says the tongue of the wise promotes what? Health. That Hebrew word for health is the same word translated wholesome right here. A healthy word, a wholesome word. Then let me give you one more, and I want to tell you what that definition is, all right? Proverbs 16, 24. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul," and here it is again, "health to the bones." So good words, pleasant words, life-giving words, wise words, are beneficial to our emotions, our mind, our thoughts, and even to our bodies because the blood is manufactured in the marrow of the bones. Let me give you what that Hebrew word is. It's marpi. It's actually related to the word for healing, rapha, but here's what it means. It means healing, remedy, calmness, and composure. Healing, remedy, calmness, and composure. So there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes healing. The tongue of the wise is the remedy. The tongue of the wise promotes calmness and composure. Sometimes, I'll come back. Calmness and composure. So again, 15 verse 4, a wholesome, that is a healing, remedial, a calming, a composed word is a tree of life. And then 16:24, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and healing, remedy, calmness, and composure to the bones." Now, would you go back to chapter 12? And I'll read this verse 25. I just got a few more verses for you. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression." Let me pause there a second. That's not the only cause of depression, but it is a cause. I just read this week a little article from, his name is Dr. Danny Huerta. He's with Focus on the Family. And I can't verify this or deny it, but this is what he said. He said the top non-medical diagnosis in our country today is anxiety. The top non-medical diagnosis in our country today is anxiety, and one cause of anxiety, at least according to the scripture here, is that the fear and that anxiety and what it does, it leads us to depression. But that's not the only truth. But a good word, would you say a good word makes the heart glad? See, words are powerful. Use them wisely. Would you say that with me? Words are powerful. Use them wisely. So here, according to this truth, even though, yes, I am anxious and even depressed, okay, what can I do to help? Please don't take this as a medical diagnosis. If somebody needs medicine or to talk to someone, you're not condemned by me. I'm gonna lift you up in prayer. I'm just simply saying, let's do our part, and we trust God for what his part is. I can do something about the words I'm speaking by his grace and the power of his spirit. So he says, but a good word makes the heart glad. Wise words, good words can have a calming effect. Remember, calm and composure. So the wise words, the good words of God can have a calming, composing effect on my heart and my emotions and do well of bringing healing into my body, because a merry heart does good like medicine. So even though my heart may be anxious and depressed and fearful, a good word will help calm that and bring me joy. A good word makes it glad. Amen. Thank God. Now, I don't want anyone to feel like, but I just want to be honest. Well, be honest. I don't want you to lie. So we can be honest about our circumstances. It may be tough and it's hard, and people may be mean, and we can be honest about our emotions. But what do you say? But don't park there, because that's not a parking lot. If we park there, it's quicksand. So be honest, but don't park in the negativity. Don't just dwell on what's wrong and what's hurtful. Dwelling on what is negative and wrong and hurtful does not help us at all or the situation. But we can speak life-giving words. That's the scripture tells us to meditate. Would you say meditate? Meditate. That means dwell on and declare. It's not just to, it's like we do with worry. Here's meditation, all right? Oh, I just don't know what's gonna, and I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just simply saying we dwell on it and we declare it. We dwell on it and we declare it, and it strengthens, and we share it with others, and we dwell on it and declare it. I'm simply saying, let's change it up. Let's keep declaring, but declare and dwell on the good word, the life-giving word of God. His word gives life. That's what the psalmist said. Your word, I was weak and I was afflicted, but your word gave me life. Thank God for the healing power. And by God's grace, we can do what the scripture tells us to do. We just have to be willing to do it. Now, let me give you just these last few verses, because the key to speaking life-giving words is not in our mouths. It's in our hearts. I want to read you just two more in Proverbs, but let me give you this from Matthew, from the lips of Jesus, if you want to write them down, okay? Matthew chapter 12, this is Jesus speaking. He says this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's abundant, now I can lie and deceive, but what eventually is abundant in my heart will come out of my mouth. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. The battle to speak right and to do right or wrong in our hearts comes from sin. Would you look at this with me? Last two verses here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. The Bible says this. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9. Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? Well, anyone can mouth the words, but we can't honestly say it because we can't cleanse our own heart from sin. Only God can do that. So who can actually say, I'm clean? And the problem is the sin in our hearts separates us from a holy God, condemns us, and it's what causes us to break God's commandments. The reason I break God's commandments is because sin is in my heart. And so I need a heart transformation. Thank God he specializes in changing hearts and lives and even ultimately words. And this is still growth. If at one time, maybe some of you probably just because we didn't have much of it in my house, that was one thing my dad, we all have our flaws, but that wasn't one of them with him, and he didn't want to hear it from anyone. So I didn't struggle. I'm not saying I didn't say them, but I didn't say them around him. And so maybe some people, maybe they were a little more free-flowing with those words, BC, before Christ. And maybe now you're exchanging like heck for something else. And well, that's still growth. Don't give up. But the focus is filling our heart with the right words, so that when we do get angry or hurt or whatever, it's still something that's not, if like scripture says, if our words give direction to our lives, I don't want to take my life in the direction of a curse. So I don't want it constantly coming out of my mouth, and I don't want it in my heart. So thank God he loved us so much that he gave his own sinless son to suffer and die on a cross, to bear the judgment for our sin. Jesus took the condemnation of our sin upon himself and really experienced the hell of separation from God in our place on the cross so that we won't have to. 3 days later, he rose again in victory, and he offers full forgiveness and eternal life to everyone who will simply believe the testimony of God's word and from their heart believe and receive Jesus as Lord. That means he's the new boss. He's God. He's not just a good teacher or my buddy when I want something from him. He is my Lord. And then he forgives us. His Holy Spirit indwells us, and he helps us and empowers us to do God's will, which includes speaking life-giving words. You say, but Brother Rocky, I still struggle. What do you say? We all stumble in many things. Last scripture, Proverbs 28. Because not only does the Holy Spirit help us and empower us to do God's word, he helps us when we do fall in sin. I'm not calling it a mistake. I'm not just saying we fall. I think sometimes we might get a little scared to say the word sin. If we break God's word, it's sin. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them, thank God, will have what? We'll have mercy. Again, the key to speaking life-giving words is to ask God to so fill our hearts with his spirit and meditate on his, get his word in our heart in abundance, so that even if you make me mad, what comes out is, I hope I can be honest with you, but I don't want to stab you. There's a difference, because I can be honest in a way that we work it out and not just have a sword to hurt you and cause more damage. Thank God for the healing power of words. So our words reveal, and our words either hurt or heal. Let's opt for the healing. and let's ask God to fill us. So I want to ask you this. I opened with the scripture this morning in Psalms 19:14. And I would like to ask you, would you join me this week in, let's make that our prayer every day. Wouldn't that be a great way to start our day and to just ask the Lord to help us? Where he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable or pleasing to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Would you say that with me? The words are on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's relying on him, isn't it? Life-giving words. And when you fall, don't give up. Just have a tender heart. Make it right. Repent quickly. Don't blame or excuse. And then just ask the Lord to help you and then keep going. So I want to ask you this right now this morning. The key is staying close to the Lord. Think about it this week. Think about your work schedule. Think about school, whatever you may have going on. How will you stay in close fellowship with the Lord this week? And then I want to ask you, what wise word will you meditate on so that it gets in your heart and comes out of your mouth? What wise word? Maybe it'll be this scripture. That's a good one if you would like to join me in that. So let's just come before the Lord right now. And as we just go to him in prayer, I want to ask you to just, would you give him the freedom to say, Lord, search me and know my heart. And Lord, show me where I have offended you, if there is any way, and then lead me in the right way, Lord. Would you just take a moment right now and just let the Lord speak to your heart? I'm sorry. Just keep going. Thank you. This just came to my mind again. Let me get my brain going here, what I just thought came to me. Israel, an entire generation did not make it into the promised land for 40 years. And there were five sins listed in the New Testament that kept them out. Immorality, tempting the Messiah. You know what the fifth sin was? Complaining. And I want to just, please don't raise your hand or anything like that, but just I want to ask you to think about it. Have you done more complaining than praising recently? Again, we're to be honest, but nothing good comes out of the just dwelling on the negative and the hurtful. So I want to ask you today, can we switch it up? I want to join you and say, let's not complain more than we praise or than we thank. Let's praise and let's thank God. If I'm thanking God and declaring his word, we overcome the evil with good, and that keeps me from speaking the bad and just drowning in the negativity. It's all around us though, isn't it? Isn't it easy to get pulled into that? But thank God for grace and for resurrection power. Can we stand together? I just want to lead us in a prayer right now. Lord, I ask you to forgive us. I don't know that any of us can stand here before you saying, I've never messed up in that area. I ask you to forgive us. I want to start with me as a representative to say, Lord, help me. I want to speak words that are wise and are life-giving and healing. Help me, Lord. In my weakness, may your strength be revealed. I ask you for grace, Lord, to cleanse us, empower us by your Spirit. We're going to do this to the glory of God. Yes, Lord, may our thoughts, our words, our meditation bring you joy as our Father. You are our strength, you are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for never giving up on us. Lord, help us not to complain while you're working in us, to help us grow more like Jesus. In Jesus' name. This little chorus, I believe.